sword drill. Everybody, lift up your Bibles. Let me see who's got them. Even if it's an electronic device, it might be your cell phone. I get it. John 15, go! I didn't even have mine open, so you're going to beat me maybe even. No, I had a bookmark. I cheated. John 15 is where we're going to start this morning. And so I give you a minute to look at that while I take another sip of peppermint tea. And John, I don't think I put the entire scripture up there when I sent that to you. It just dawned on me right now, just now. So if you don't have your Bible with you, I suggest you snuggle up to someone who has one, or you just trust me that I'm reading this the way it's written. Normally we would have it up there, but I broke it up into pieces and I sent it to John that way. So verse 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's twice he says that. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power that it carries and the instructions that it gives. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would look inward this morning. We would look at our hearts and we would examine it, not according to man's standards, but according to your standard. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I have to swap out my glasses here, so just bear with me. Yeah. You wouldn't want me to get these words wrong. There is some powerful statements made in these first 11 verses of John 15. I love the book of John. It's just almost all red letter. I don't know if any of you ever noticed that, but it's a lot of red letter. And I remember when I was a little girl, I loved to read the red letters in the Bible because I figured, oh, that's God talking. And I wasn't wrong, by the way. I wasn't wrong. The entire book of John is packed with such deep truths and deep theology that to truly digest this book and truly digest what was even being said today, we have to stop and meditate on these truths. And in my prayer, I sort of hinted, let us look inward. Don't look at somebody else. Don't say, oh my gosh, that person should really read this. When you read your Bible, when you open up your Bible, I want you to open it up and say, what is God saying to me? That's how you should read your Bible. What is God saying to me? God is talking to me through his word. And if you start there, you will not ever go too far wrong. I'll tell you what. The word of God was meant for each one of us individually. And here we're given this beautiful picture. I think we've all had plants in our house or in our yard, and we know that they need upkeep. And if I have this one, when Dan and I were just first married, we had this plant, and I was so proud of it because I took good care of my plants back in those days. And this thing, we had an apartment, and we hung it up in the corner at the front of the house. And it was just like a few little vines, and pretty soon that thing grew, and I had vines hanging all over. It looked like a jungle in our front room. And I knew I had to cut it off, but it was just like four long vines. It wasn't bushy. It was just stringy and actually kind of ugly. And so I cut it off. Now, the pieces I cut off, I tried to save, but they died. And they weren't part of the vine anymore. And when we're looking at the Word of God, we need to hear what Jesus is saying about being cut off from the vine, being cut off from the main plant. Jesus is the vine. And if you cut yourself off from him, you're going to shrivel up and die spiritually. Yeah, you can still go about. You can fool people for months of what's going on in here. Eventually, it does all come out. But you can fool people for a long time of what's going on inside your good old little heart there. But you are not for one second fooling Lord God. Not for one second is he missing what's going on in your heart. He knows well ahead of you even. And so we have this warning here. But I want to start off by saying that we, when we're looking at being in the vine, we need to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word. In John 15:3, it says, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you." The word here that he uses is the word logos. Logos is the same word that's used for Jesus in John verse chapter 1, at the very beginning of this book, 1-5, and we're going to just read that. "In the beginning was the Word." That's the logos, the same word. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you are abiding in Jesus, you cannot separate the Word of God from who Jesus is. He is the Word. And he was in the beginning, verse 2 says, and all things came into being by him. He's not just the Word, he is God, the Creator. And apart from him, nothing came into being that hasn't come into being, and that includes you. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. People don't understand this. They don't understand that Jesus was God. They don't understand that he created the world, and so they make up fables and stories to try to fit what they have already conceived in their little brains, how this all came about. They will not accept the Word. Verse 14, we're going to jump down there, and this is where I'm saying Jesus is the Word. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This is Jesus in the flesh. "And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I want to just touch on that word begotten just briefly here. A lot of people think Jesus was born in Bethlehem because he was begotten, or that he's the Son of God because he was begotten. Begotten, this word begotten is actually means that he was revealed in the flesh. He always was. He was their creation. This isn't contradicting itself. Verse 3 says that everything came into being, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. So then how could he be born in Bethlehem when he was already there at creation? It just doesn't even make sense. So you have to look at the word that the way it was written in the original vernacular. We're just translating it, and begotten is the best we can come up with. But he was just revealed, in a sense, by the Father in the flesh. And so you cannot separate the Word from God. John 15:7 of our text that we read, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done to you, for you." We like this scripture. We do. We quote this one a lot. In fact, I can remember singing this as a little song. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." How many of you remember that song? Please, someone. Oh, Maranatha singers. All right. Living Word is that word there, by the way. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." This is living word. I don't know if you're familiar with the understanding of the word living. But living, if you're in living waters is waters that flow. So like a river would be considered a living water. A pond, not living water, although you can find lots of creepy little life in it. Living water is water that flows. Living words, do you get an idea now? These words need to be flowing. And if you turn the tap off, is it going to flow? In other words, open your Bibles, get into the living word. Let it flow. Let it flow through you. Let it permeate. Let it wash you. You see, the idea of the living waters is if the water wasn't flowing, you couldn't be made ritually clean. That's why they had to pour the water over the hands of the priests in the Old Testament. They didn't dip it in the bowl. It was poured over their hands. It had to be a purification that is taking place. And the words of God need to be flowing. They need to be flowing so that they can purify us. If we're not letting that tap flow, we are not becoming purified. And you know, you look into the Word of God sometimes and you're just like, oh, oh, I need to make some changes. And you stop, hopefully, right there, and you make those prayer and you make that changes. That's purification taking place. The word is purifying you. It is straightening your thoughts out. And we need to allow the words to abide in us. It's important. Jesus is saying this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, I know I just about turn every sermon in to get into your Bibles. But, you know, when I stand before God, and if that's the worst thing you can say about me, yeah, I'm sure he won't be unhappy with me. It's important. I emphasize it because I can't emphasize it enough. It is important that you be in the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to read through your Bible in a year. Please, that is a program to encourage you. We've even made the Grace Club. You can take 2-3 years. I don't care, but you should be in it. You should be in it, and you need it every day. Every day. It's your daily bread. Manna fell from heaven every day when they were in the desert. And Jesus said, I am the manna. I am the Word. And get in the Word every day. It's important as part of the abiding in Jesus Christ. You know, I was recently talking to somebody. You'll never meet them, so I'm comfortable saying this. They were sort of, if you, I hate to be critical here, and I want to be very careful, very super spiritual person, very super spiritual. They put more emphasis on experience and less on the Word of God. And so I said, well, do you read your Bible every day? No, I don't like reading my Bible. You don't? Why? Well, it just doesn't line up with my experiences of Jesus. Does that not ring alarms? Does not flags fly up the flagpole and say, there's a problem here? Because if the Jesus you're serving is not the Jesus in the Bible, his words, there is a problem, and it's huge. You see, the Jesus you serve is this, the Jesus of this Bible, the Jesus of these words. Believe me, he gave us those words. He has the divine power to protect those words and to deliver them to us in truth. He says, my word is truth. We'll see that in a little bit. It's important that the Jesus you serve is the Jesus of this Bible. If it is not, there is a problem. And if you are not in the Word, you can get taken off. Boy, I'll tell you, people can lead you down the path, and it will feel great for a while. For a while. It's a dangerous path. Nothing has more authority over what you believe about Jesus Christ than the Word of God. He is the Word. I sat down last night and had supper with Holly King and her two little girls, and Natty got a new Bible, and she's been dragging that Bible everywhere, and she brought it to dinner with her. She had her tablet there, and she had her Bible there, and you know what? She put away her tablet, and she opened up her Bible because she couldn't get enough. And she wasn't faking it. She wasn't faking it. She was reading. She was reading these words. And she's sitting there and she's reading, and Holly and I are chatting away like girls do, you know. And all of a sudden, Natty looks up and she goes, I am just blown away. And I'm, what? And we're both, well, what's that? And so she goes on to tell us what she just read in the Bible and how it just blew her away, because these guys were going to build a tower all the way up to heaven. And she was blown away. Isn't that the way the Bible is? Sometimes, you know, when I tell you, you know, you need to be in the Word, I maybe make it sound too much like a legalism. And I want you to understand that that's not the heart. It is important. There's no doubt about it. It's important. But it should be a blessing. Even if you don't understand the most of what you read, if you get something, you've got something you didn't have before. You need to. I just thought, I am just blown away. And, you know, she reminded me of me somewhere in that. So often I'm just blown away by the Word of God. You know, Jesus in his last prayer for the church. It was in John chapter 17, again, the book of John, right? But Jesus is making that last plea to God before he goes to the cross. And he was praying in that chapter for you and me. He was praying for those who were and those who were to come. And John 17:6, He touches on the word all the time. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. John 17:8. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. John 17:14. I have given them your word. I have given them your word. You know, this was in his prayer in the garden. You know, when you give somebody a really important gift, that's powerful. And this is Jesus giving you a very special gift. I've given them your word. And then John 17:17, and again, here's that concept of letting the word wash you and being purified. There's tons of scriptures that would support that, but, you know, we're not going to dwell there too long. Sanctify them in the truth. Cleanse them, in other words, in the truth. Set them apart for you in truth. Your word is truth. You should be in the word. There's another thing here, though, in this text that we need to look at, and that is you should be bearing fruit. John 15, our text, verses 1 and 2 read, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bear fruits, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. We don't like that part too much. Abide in me, and I in you, verse 4 goes on to say, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When we think of the fruit, you know, we separate the fruits from works, and we separate the fruit from the gifts. The fruit is what comes from your heart. And the fruit of the Spirit is laid out very beautifully in Galatians 5, verses 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, such things, there's no law. What a sweet list. You know, I have a fruit bowl. I gave some away one Christmas, and I kept one for myself because I liked them so much. And it had the fruit of the Spirit written on it. It's a big fruit bowl. It's beautiful. I got it from ChristianBook.com. And I love my fruit bowl. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It just sounds so nice. It's important. You see, when we were in junior high, you get to, and high school too, you get to pick options. So when you're going to classes, you get to pick what options you want. You can have the option. You can do shop or home ec. I don't know if they call it that anymore. Sports, art, band, you can take whatever option you want, and you can expand. And most of those options, to me, looked pretty fun, unless you were in the chess club, but most of those options looked really fun. They weren't your core studies, right? They were optional. And so you could, you know, could go there and have some fun in your day. Sometimes we treat the fruit of the Spirit like that. It's fun. It's nice. And we treat it like, you know, I think I'm going to shoot for some patience and kindness, but that gentleness and self-control, let's leave that to the wife. I don't even know what goodness is. We will leave that one alone. And we treat it like that. But this is not the way this rolls. These fruits of the Spirit are a serious matter, and they are not optional. They are not, I'm going to get super close to God, and then I'm going to have this wonderful fruit of the Spirit. This is not what I'm seeing here. What I'm seeing here is that if you're not abiding in the vine and you're not producing fruit, you need to start getting a little bit worried. And I'm not preaching this out of a heart of anger. I want you to understand. It's a heart of warning, which is a heart of love. There should be some fruit of the Spirit starting to cultivate in your heart. If you are a servant of Jesus Christ and this stuff is not happening, get right with God today. Don't put this off. It's not an optional. There is a warning rolled right up inside of this. And it says that you're going to get cut off. And I'd be failing you if a pastor, if I glossed over the verses that would suggest the serious consequences if we fail to produce the fruit of the Spirit. There is serious consequences. John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone, verse 6, does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We need to take the full counsel of God's word and not pick and choose what parts we like and say, that's me or that's not me. You know what? You need to take this seriously. The fruit of the Spirit is not just nice. It's essential. It's important. And it should be cultivated in the people of God. When people walk in these doors on Sunday morning, there should be a difference. There should be a difference when they meet a Christian on the side of the road when their vehicle is broken down. There should be a difference when they run into a Christian in the superstore and they let you go first. And there should be a difference in when you talk to somebody on the phone. There should be a difference in absolutely everything you do. How you treat your coworkers. How you treat the stranger. How you treat the mother that has no father. How you treat the child that's not as rich. How you treat the stinky ones and the rich ones. The fruit of the Spirit has to be here. This is not for you to pick and choose where. You are a representative of Jesus Christ, and wherever you walk, wherever you go, you are his light, and you are to be shining his light into the darkness. That means there needs to be something different. And Christians, we got to clean up our act. We got to clean it up. And I'm saying this again out of a heart of love. You know, sometimes we make mistakes and people look at us and go, and they call themselves a Christian. And we like to come back with, yeah, and I'm human too. But please understand, that is not an excuse for bad behavior on the part of a believer in Jesus Christ. That's a reality, but it's not an excuse. And if we have acted in a way that is unbecoming, we need to repent to the person we injured, and we need to repent before the Lord. And it is time we grab a hold of this and understand that the fruit of the Spirit is crucial to the believer in Jesus Christ, because if you are truly abiding in him, if you are truly taking on his nature, it should be shown. It should be obvious. Romans 11, 17 to 20, true. Now you have to understand that this is written also in the context of Israel being cut off and we being grafted in. But I'm going to start at verse 17 of Romans 11. But if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. That means rich root means you're getting something. It means you're getting something from the vine. Do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root. Some people think we make the church, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold, the kindness and the severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you do not continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. See, there's a different side to producing the fruit of the Spirit. It is a wonderful thing when you abide in God and he cultivates that fruit in your life. But we cannot afford, especially in this day and age, where we are being drawn down at every turn, we cannot take the time to lighten up on the fruit of the Spirit. This is a serious matter, and we have to take it seriously. Believers, I'm calling us all to a place of righteousness before God where we cleanse our heart. The Bible says, above all things, watch your heart. I got slammed with something last Wednesday, and ladies' Bible study came immediately after, and I had to kneel down before I even led that Bible study, and I says, ladies, we got to pray for my heart. We got to pray for my heart. I got to get this out right now. I got to put it under the blood right now. I got to get my heart right before I can even touch the word of God. And the ladies were wonderful, and they prayed with me. And I just felt like the devil had me like this and was just strangling my spirit. And it's almost like his hands got greasy and he just lost his hold on me. Praise be to God. That's what it's about. We like the lovely part. Of course we do, and we should be there. But we need to also walk and bear fruit. And there is only one way to do that. Only one way. I love it. Verse 4 of our text. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So you can't do this without Jesus Christ. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You can't do this without being in the presence of God. If you don't have time in your day to not spend time with God, read this. You're not going to bear fruit. I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot bear that fruit. It's obvious. There's two statements just like bang, bang, right there. Unless we abide in him, we can't do this. I have plants now, and I'm going to confess they're not the most beautiful. And it's because I just don't water them often enough. So I always have to go in and cut them back and pull off all the dead leaves and dig the dead leaves out from under the chair and where it sits. And it's a little embarrassing if I forget about it. And I look at it, oh my gosh, how is that thing even alive? But sometimes we live our Christian walk like I water my plants. If I have time or if I think of it and if I'm in the mood, then I'm going to, you know, spend time with God. You're going to look sickly just like my plant. Not healthy. You cannot separate the word from Jesus, and you cannot separate bearing the fruit from Jesus. So we should be in the word, and we should be bearing fruit. Colossians gives us a beautiful picture of the fruit of the Spirit in practice and some great ways to abide. Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Here's that list again. Don't you love it? Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you should. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. There is that word again. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in. This is how you get this. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and singing spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Isn't that what we did this morning? We spent time singing spiritual songs and hymns and with thankful hearts to God. We acknowledged his majesty and his mightiness. We felt his sweet presence. And now we're in the word. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. It's all right there. I love the word unity. In chapter 17 of that prayer that Jesus said, that word unity came up all the time as well. Because if the fruits of spirit in operation, unity is the next thing that happens. If there's disunity, there's probably someone walking in the flesh. I want to mention that the result of abiding in Jesus in the word and practicing the fruit of the Spirit and producing the fruit of the Spirit, the answer is going to be unity. It's going to be, this would be a wonderful place to be all the time, every day. And it should be. In the prayer of Jesus that we touched on earlier, Jesus mentioned unity, unity, unity. He mentioned it like twice at least. And here it is again. There should be a sweet unity in the household of faith. And God just wants us to look inside and deal with ourselves. Deal with yourself. You can't control what other people do. Don't get judgy on other people. Just look at yourself. Say, what can I do? And if you're producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, it produces a loving, accepting, wonderful household of faith. So we should be in the Word. We should be bearing fruit. And we should be living an obedient life. And yes, that's in there. John 15, 9 and 10, just as the Father loved me, I've loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I love this. I use this verse a lot. It's one of my faves. John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. That is special. That is special. When God reveals himself to you, those are special times. And you know, they're very personal, amen? And I know many of you have shared stories where you've had those moments where God has spoken to you or revealed himself to you, even when you're reading the Bible and stuff. This is an important part of believing in Christ, is that we be obedient to him. Now, I know this is a very poor example, because you're all going to have excuses. I know my kids and my hubby do, and I love them desperately. If I scrub my floors, and I say when they come in, take your shoes off at the door, now if they just walked across those clean floors in muddy boots, I'm going to feel injured. I'm going to take it personally. Now, maybe they had to go to the washroom really fast or whatever, so that's why it's a poor example. But if they deliberately trample dirt through my house and mud, or if a stranger comes in and won't take his shoes off and tramples mud through my house without a reason, I would be hurt. I would think that person doesn't like me. And sometimes, you know, we treat the commands of God, again, like optional. But you got to understand, there's a reason why we do things we don't want to do, and that is because we love God. And if God says, you know, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that, then don't do it. Because you love him, you don't do it. You do it his way, you leave your way out of it, and you go the way that God has given you the directions for, and you usually find out in the end that that was the right way to go. Oh, who knew that would ever going to happen? Of course it is, because God made those rules not to hurt us, but to make it the way of a life a lot easier on everybody. And there is a connection between love and obedience. And those scriptures that we looked at says that very clearly. There's a connection between how much you love God and how much you feel you need to obey his word. We don't obey him out of absolute terror. We obey him out of love. And you need to have a love relationship with God. And that means abiding in that vine, spending time with him, abiding in the vine. John 15 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Matthew 22:37 is the great commandment, and that's where this came from, actually. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments, that's all we have, depend the whole law and the prophets. In other words, all the commandments in the Old Testament, that's the law and the prophets, all the commandments in the Old Testament are summed up right there. Love your neighbor as yourself. We struggle with those two. We only have two, and we struggle. The fruit of the Spirit is how those are obvious. And this points us right back to the Logos, Jesus, producing Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So we should be in the Word, we should be bearing fruit, and we should be living an obedient life. This last verse, I saved it for the last because it's kind of like the best part of it. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. You know, when we put our selfishness aside, which is really where the other side of this comes in, when we do that and we just, you know, we walk in obedience to God and we cultivate the fruit, do you know what? Your life actually becomes richer. Your relationships become stronger, more genuine, more reliable. People actually like you more, usually. Not everyone's going to like you, but people actually like you more. You've got to constantly be cultivating that fruit of the Spirit, making a life that's producing that. Such a beautiful picture if we were all just constantly in the right place with God, and what a beautiful presence we'll make, not just here, in this community. This powerful promise, your joy will be made full. It's all about being abiding in the vine, that your joy is made full. That's where it's at. Such a contrast. And Jesus, you know, he gives us warnings, but he also gives us blessings. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. You know, for you believers, I encourage you this morning. I want you to take the time. I'm going to call Jean up. I want you to take the time and just spend a moment and just determine that you're going to start taking his word seriously and the fruit of the Spirit seriously. Determine that not for me, not for the pastor, but for God, that you're going to cultivate a life that is rich and full of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. Make time in your day. Everybody, don't tell me you're too busy. Don't tell me you're too tired. Because when I read in the book of Mark, I think it's around chapter 4. This is just coming to me now, so I didn't look this particular scripture up. But it says it's the cares of this life that choke out the word of God. The cares of this life choke it out. You know what? If the cares of this life are choking out the word of God in your life, then you need to deal with something right fast. Unbusy yourself. Watch one less TV show. Do one less thing. But the word of God has to have priority in your life, because that is the logos. That is God. You need to have that time. And I'm not saying just read it. I'm saying read it, dwell upon it, pray it, let it wash you. Spend time with God. Talk to him about what you've read. Talk to him about the cares of this life that are distracting you, and put it all under the blood of Jesus Christ so that you can get all that behind you and you can actually enter into the presence of God. Without the presence of God, without this, you're not going to bear fruit. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning, and as we're dwelling on this, you say, Pastor Judy, you just pray for me right where I'm at. I need a touch from the Lord. I need to get back in the right relationship with him so that I can be producing the fruit of the Spirit. If that's you this morning, just slide your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees those hands. And by raising those hands, you're saying to Jesus, you're not saying that to me. You're saying to Jesus, I want this in my life. I want that fullness of joy and the produce of the Spirit. Heavenly Father, you saw those this morning who raised their hand. And Lord, I pray that they'll feel your Holy Spirit. We just put our disobedience under the blood. We put our schedules under the blood. And we know, God, that through your word and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are strengthened and cleansed in you. And Lord, I pray that you will go, Lord, and minister to each one this morning whose heart is open to receive your word this morning. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'd have every head bowed. And you'd say, Pastor Judy, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I don't even know what you're talking about, this joy and this love stuff. I've never felt this, but I want it. I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, slide your hand up. I'm going to pray for you right where you're sitting. Thank you. Is there any more? I see those two hands. Is there any more? We're going to pray. And I know those two who raised their hands, I want you to pray after me and everybody else as well. We can always renew our walk with the Lord. We're going to ask him to come into your heart this morning and to fill you. And you will fill him. When you pray that prayer and you mean it, you will fill God. And just pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the word. Come into my heart. And wash away my sin. And help me to follow you. And to follow your word. I receive your Spirit within me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song called Draw Me Nearer, Draw Me Nearer. A beautiful, beautiful hymn.